And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the fake history of Islam in the West. Now, this, I think, is a very important topic. This is based on a posting that I saw not long ago of a woman, a European woman, it sounded like, who may have been from South Africa. It's kind of hard to tell. But she's driving in her car and she's talking about the suppressed history of the West and how it was supposedly the Muslims who came in when they invaded Spain with the Moors, and that they were the ones who supposedly taught Western civilization how to be civilized. Now, and we're going to play some of this audio here soon. Because I think it's very, very important. It's part of a greater movement. Now, I don't know who this woman is. I'm not sure who she works for or whatever. It looks like one of those self-made videos that people put together. But sometimes these things can go viral, as we all know, and have a greater impact. But it's part of, I think, a greater agenda that the Marxists have been engineering for years. And we remember that Karl Marx said that history is the battleground, that you've got to go in if you really want to change a culture, you have to go in and change their history. You give them a different impression about the past, and that will affect how they view the future. Now, many of us notice this back when Barack Obama was president of the United States, and Obama gave a speech that many people wrote about and talked about how Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. I mean, that's literally a quote from President Barack Obama when he was giving a speech during his administration. He said they've been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. Obama said, quote, "Generations of Muslim immigrants came here and went to work as farmers and merchants and factory workers, helped to lay railroads and build up America. The first Islamic center in New York City was founded in the 1890s. America's first mosque," this was an interesting fact, "was in North Dakota." And I'm quoting him there. By the way, the first mosque, so-called mosque, was supposedly built or established in 1929, the same year you had the stock market crash. But the mosque, as they call it, it's not there today. It sounds like it was just some kind of a cabin. If you go research it, was some kind of a log cabin. And there were some Muslims who went in there and prayed at some point. And so they called it a mosque. But calling that the first mosque, well, it's kind of strange. The reality is the Mother Mosque of America, which was in Iowa, was not built until the year 1934, opened up in the year 1934. So think about that. From 1607 in Jamestown to 1934, that's over 300 years before you actually get a mosque in this country. Compare that to the number of churches that are here and the history of the churches. Now, the first Islamic center, Obama's, this is according to this quote here, said the first Islamic center in New York City was founded in the 1890s. I still have not found a record of that. and that may be the case, but, I'm not sure what. The thing is, what they're calling you know, what they mean or what Obama meant by an Islamic center. I mean, if they're willing to call an old cabin where some Muslims prayed, if they're willing to call that a mosque, who knows what they would call an Islamic center. According to what I'm finding online, and I freely admit I'm not doing deep, intense research into this particular issue. If you guys find something out there from the 1890s in New York, by all means, send it to me. But what I'm finding, the Islamic Cultural Center of New York dates back to 1987. Nothing in the 19th century. So that's the thing. But it's very clear that there is an agenda to build this history about Islam in our country and in Western civilization. And the reason why, I believe, is because they want to justify advancing Islam in the United States politically, theologically, to advance Sharia law, to say, oh, the Muslims have as much a right to be here as the Christians. Muslims built America along with the Christians. That's part of why they're trying to argue that most of the slaves that came to this country were supposedly Muslims. And the reality is, that's almost certainly not the case. All right, but I want to play some of the audio of this woman riding in her car so that we can hear what she says and just a little bit of her rhetoric on this. And then we're going to talk about it and talk about the website that this appears on. This actually appears on it's posted on a YouTube channel from a, quote, ministry called Thoughts Camera Action. Provoking Thought Ministries. That's what it's called. Provoking Thought Ministries. So, listen to this. Here it is.
Because when white people came to Africa, they came showing themselves as superior to the black people, digging out things that black people taught them. You know, what we don't have in our history books is that the civilization we have in Europe today was brought to us by black people. Even black people don't know that. Even many, many black people don't know that. They don't know that the Moors, they were West Africans and North Africans and Central Africans that came to Europe and ruled Spain. They brought civilization to us. They showed us how to use soap, how to be clean, how to behave like a decent human being, you know? All these things, we didn't know that before the Moors brought civilization to Spain. Did you know that the Moors ruled in Spain for 700 years? Where is that in our history books? It's nowhere to be found. Because why? If you are giving black people that power of having once ruled over white people, wouldn't black people start like kind of questioning, oh, we were once at that point of having such a power in a white man's country over white people, and where are we now? So of course they have to hide that history from you people, because knowing your true history is knowing your true power. And knowing your true power means you will break out from that system of racism.
Okay, so again, this is a white woman, and she sounds like she has a South African accent, but then she says here in Europe, so she could be a South African who's now living in Europe. That's what it appears to be. And this is posted on a channel. The guy who runs the channel is a black guy who professes to be a Christian, but if you go to his channel and whatnot, his whole channel is really about promoting the idea that Jesus was black, supposedly. He has a little video in there where there's this white guy praying in a church, and the white guy is praying to Jesus, and then suddenly Jesus appears, and the guy looks up, but Jesus is a black man, okay, with long dreadlocks and this kind of thing. And it's done in a little bit of a satirical manner, as if to say, well, white people don't realize the person that they're praying to is black, supposedly. That's the idea. And that tells you something about what he's calling his ministry. His ministry is about trying to prove that somehow or other Jesus was black and that Christianity comes from blacks and that somehow or other it matters. It matters to know that Jesus was black and this kind of thing. Of course, he runs into a lot of problems with his information, and this woman has a lot of problems with her information. Let's address, first of all, her assertion that it was somehow or other the Moors who are, if you're talking to members of the black community, they want to promote the Moors as though they were all black. If you study the Moors, however, they were made up of blacks, Arabs, and Berbers. Okay? The Moors are not uncolonized Africans. The Moors are a result of the Arab conquests of those parts of Africa where the Moors were, the northern parts of Africa. And the blacks, who were Moors, were colonized by the Arabs. So it was the Arabs who gave them their language, Arabic. The Arabs gave them the religion of Islam. The Arabs taught them warfare and the more sophisticated cultures of Arabia and Mohammedism, which was a very sophisticated militant movement. I mean, you have to, even though I'm not a fan of Islam, you have to acknowledge that they were a mighty military force in many parts of the world. There's no question about that. And the Moors did conquer Spain in 711 AD. But if you look up the guy who conquered Spain, Tariq ibn Ziyad, he's not usually portrayed as a traditional black African. He seems more often than not to be a more like an Arab, more of Arabic descent, although sometimes he is portrayed more as a traditional African. But anyway, whatever the case may be, the idea that the Moors taught the Europeans about civilization is complete and utter nonsense. I mean, it really is ridiculous nonsense. First of all, they don't show up until 711 AD. 711 AD. The Roman Empire had governed all across Europe, Western Europe, for centuries, for more than 700 years at that point. Now, you have to remember something. The sophistication of Western Europe really did come from Rome, and prior to that, really from the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great, because Alexander had swept across the ancient world and had basically conquered all of known civilization at that point. Then his empire is divided up among his four generals. One of his generals, Ptolemy, becomes the king of Egypt. He takes over the Egyptian territory, and his descendant was Cleopatra. Cleopatra was from the Ptolemaic line of Egyptian kings. So that's why Cleopatra is typically portrayed as a more pale-skinned woman, because she came from Greek descent. She was not a traditional Egyptian. Now, if you really want to get some interesting information, go online and type in blonde-haired Egyptian mummies or red-haired Egyptian mummies. Just go type that in and go look at all the different images from archaeologists and so on who have uncovered mummies in Egypt that do not have the traditional black hair of the Egyptian that you would think they did. They often have blonde hair and red hair, etc. But when you hear people talk about that part of the world today, it's assumed that in ancient times, everybody who was there was either a black, like an African, or they were brown-skinned, maybe like somebody in India or something like that. That Middle Eastern darker tone that is very, very common in modern times. But we can see today, look at how immigration and people traveling from one part of the world to the other is changing the racial dynamics of whole countries at this point. The idea that this only began in modern times, I think, is illogical. But hold that thought. We're going to go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. I'm going to go over a couple of articles here before we continue. I just want to read you some examples of what is out there, because I think this movement, especially in our schools, our colleges, and universities, I think the movement is going to get worse and worse. For example, in PBS, this is a series of websites, PBS, I have an article, Islam in America. Learn more about the relationship between Islam in America. Okay, PBS going out of their way to promote this issue. Then another website, quote, enslaved African Muslims helped build America. LearningEnglish.voanews. Enslaved African Muslims helped build America. GreenvilleOnline.com. Opinion: Muslim Americans helped to build this country. Okay. A History of Muslims in America, Islamic Networks Group. Muslim immigrants and converts have helped to build America. USA Today. Islam in America: What You Don't Know About Islam, U.S. Roots. U.S. meaning the United States. The U.S. Roots. The History of Muslims. Here, let me just read part of it. USA Today. One of the greatest stories, they say, one of the greatest stories rarely told about the long history of Muslim immigration to the United States, stretching back hundreds of years, is actually being told most days by Amir Muhammad, the founder and chief curator of America's Islamic Heritage Museum. And I've talked about that Islamic Heritage Museum on the program before. It's a small museum, as many museums are. Especially if you start visiting museums in different parts of the world, you'll be surprised. Many of them are not very big at all. They're not that big, but they've got all sorts of interesting artifacts in them. And this Islamic museum in Washington, D.C. appears to be, from the pictures that I've seen, appears to be a smaller museum. But the idea is to promote this propaganda there in Washington. Now you've got, I just saw last night on Fox News, they quoted Vox, Vox.com. Here they have an article, quote, "A Brief History of Islam in America," where they say, "Islam's roots in America go back to the founding fathers." And then they show a picture of hundreds and hundreds of Muslims bowing down in prayer on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol back in 2009. So the article says, quote, "Much of the debate in the U.S. surrounding President Trump's ban on immigrants and refugees has tended to assume that Muslim Americans are mostly migrants and that Islam is a relatively new phenomenon in America, along with questions about integration and assimilation. In fact, Islam has a long history in America, going back to the earliest days of the country's founding." You know, as Christians, I have to say this, brethren, we could make much, much better arguments as Christians. We could go into Turkey and we could say, do you realize Turkey's origins are all Christian? That Turkey, modern day Turkey, was all governed by Christianity for the first 500 years of church history. Christianity has a much longer history in Turkey. Christianity controlled Constantinople for more than 1,000 years. Modern day Istanbul needs to acknowledge the Christian history of Istanbul. But what do you think the Muslims would say? We could argue the Christian history of Arabia, because where did Muhammad get the stories about Mary and Jesus and the Old and New Testament? It's because Christianity had spread throughout that region for hundreds of years before Muhammad was ever even born. That's why he knew stories from the New Testament, because Christianity was there. We can make much, much better arguments in the Islamic world, because so many Islamic countries were Christian countries for centuries and centuries before the Muslims ever showed up. But what they're doing, I believe, is they are fabricating this history deliberately because they want to advance Islam politically in the United States. And I think that seems very, very clear. Very, very clear. And with the situation in Belgium, which we did a show on, this should be a concern. It's not an overreaction for conservatives and Christians and patriots to say, yes, Islam, political Islam, is a problem. If they get into your country and they start building up their population and they begin demanding political empowerment, where are they going to head with that? We know where they always head with it, which is to begin to try and implement Sharia law. All right, let's listen again to the audio of Belgian MP Philip Klass and what he said about this when he was being interviewed on RT. Listen.
What do you make of their achievements thus far?
Well, of course, it's very worrying to see what's happening now. We see people from with an Islamic background forming their own political parties now and demanding, you know, the introduction of Sharia law and an Islamic state in Belgium. We've always predicted this, but up till now, Muslim people mainly supported socialist parties and other leftist parties, but now they feel apparently confident enough to make their own party and to make their own revendications. And this is something really worrying, I think.
Okay, so you can see the path that they take. They align themselves with the socialists, with the leftists, and your liberals in general. And then once they build themselves up to a point where they feel confident, then they're going to break away. This is the part that I think American Democrats and liberals don't completely understand. They keep telling themselves that Islam is just like Christianity, supposedly, with their passages in the Quran. And I've talked to people for years who will say, well, those harsh passages in the Quran are just like harsh passages in the Old Testament. And the reality is, no, they're not. They're not one and the same thing. And that takes a while to explain. But nevertheless, that's what people continue to think. And they don't realize that Islam's program for world domination does not include joining hands with socialist infidels who want things like abortion and homosexuality and feminism. It just doesn't include that. Ultimately, if they were to gain the upper hand, and anywhere that they gain the upper hand, they will get rid of the socialists as soon as they can. As soon as they don't need them anymore, they will get rid of them. And that's the disturbing reality. But right now in our country, they need the Democrats, they need the liberals, and they need these socialists, because those are the people who open the door for them and help them get into our system, help bring in mass Islamic migration into America, and are helping them fabricate this history about Islam going back to the founding of the country, supposedly. But it's a history, it is a false history that is part of an agenda, brethren. And it's something that we have to watch out for, something that we have to oppose as often as we can. All right, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.